Blog Talk Radio.
Keep your head.
Keep your head.
To the sky. Keep your head.
Keep your head.
To the sky.
To the sky.
Said it right now. We got two Shabbats this week, most high willing, inshallah, that we will celebrate, and this one being the Day of Atonement. Let me sound the shofar. As we holy day. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, and may thy kingdom come, and thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, especially on today. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Father, I'm praying for forgiveness of our sins, sins of our forefathers that have us in this final captivity. I'm praying for my brothers and sisters throughout the four corners of the earth, the 12 tribes of Israel, as they prepare and are atoning and repenting for the things done throughout this year that may not have been pleasing in your sight. Have a fresh start. May our time together be blessed. May the prophets that prophesied today preach good words to help our people to heal from their hurts. Father, heal us from this post-traumatic stress disorder that's upon our people from having gone through the afflictions of the curses. Today we afflict ourselves. Today we pull back because we love you that much. We want you to know that we love you more than we love the appetites of our flesh. We need you. We depend upon you, holy and soul. We give your name the praise. It's in the name of our brother Messiah, we pray. Yeshua HaMashiach. So be it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Welcome to Inspirational Wednesday, which happens to fall this time around on the Day of Atonement. So we want to encourage and inspire you to go ahead and keep this holy day, this feast day, as we break it down. Before we get into it, just want to say Shabbat Shalom. Welcome, Brother B. How are you doing this morning?
Spot Sloan doing just fine. I must say, I wonder if you'd be, so far you had us go, it was broke, because it didn't sound anything like the one that I just heard.
The one that I tried
to blow on Saturday, on the Spotted Shabbat.
I haven't mastered that yet.
Well, I haven't even got that close. But, yeah, I'm just thankful for this Day of Atonement that the Most High has put before us so that we can atone for even the sins that we don't even realize or remember that we have done and the people we've offended.
Right.
So I just thank the Most High for that and then and bless His holy name.
Hallelujah. Yes, it is a wonderful
Hallelujah.
Opportunity that He has extended to us to be able to atone for the mistakes that we've made. And also mastery of the flesh, conquering the dictates of the flesh. This old flesh is what wants to get us in trouble, our appetites and urges that we picked up. We're letting the body know that he that within us is greater than anything in the world and that no weapon formed against us can prosper. So, I'm praying for the strength of all my Hebrew brothers and sisters throughout the world that they be able to keep this day because we know that the race is not given to the swift or strong, but the one that endures. So we want enduring power, strength.
This is true.
Hopefully, the majority of you out there listening to me didn't try to cram in 5 hamburgers last night and a bunch of cold brews and trying to do this fast today.
I cut it off at 4 hamburgers.
Hallelujah. Right. Sister Tamaz here, of course.
But, yeah.
Hello.
But actually, I'm sorry.
Shalom, Brother
D.
How you doing?
Shalom, Sister Mind, doing just fine. I was just getting ready to say doing pretty good. I felt a little bit of a hunger pain this morning. You know, breakfast rolled around my stomach telling me, hey, it's time. But, hey, I'm feeling strong with this, I just thank the Most High. I asked Him for strength to get through this, and like I said, He's delivering.
Yeah, because we got to get you ready for your tent next week, the Feast of Tabernacles, where you'll be out in the woods for 8 days.
Okay. All right, Jimmy.
Let's see how that goes. Hey, listen, let's get into it. Of course, let's go ahead and start in Leviticus, the 23rd chapter.
That's where I thought we were going to be going.
Yeah, let's go ahead and start there. And then we're going to look at an example of a brother that was doing some repenting and fasting, that being King Dawid. We'll look at his example, and then we'll talk about the fact that our Messiah, you know, you non-Messianic people, I don't even know how you're keeping the Day of Atonement, because that means you got to go to the zoo and get you some animals and steal them and sacrifice them. But according to Hebrews, the ninth chapter, he already took care of the sacrificial part. There has to be no shedding of blood. So if you're non-Messianic, I don't even understand what it is you're doing. This Day of Atonement has to do with offering sacrifices to the Most High and letting your body, presenting your body as a living sacrifice. And, you know, it comes back to me that last year I think we focused on the fact that you have to remove the malice and the leaven out of your heart. If you didn't get a chance prior to the Day of Atonement to get some things right with some people, because you can't go into this with malice, hatred, jealousy, envy, you can't even atone. But that's why in the Lord's Prayer, that's why it says, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, forgive our trespasses as we forgive our trespassers. You got to let things go, let people go. You'll have a much better life and healthier life if you learn to do so. Sickness and cancer, a lot of that stems from hatred and malice of heart. That when people carry so much bitterness inside of them, that actually turns off your white blood cells and gives that causes the body to become acidic. It's not alkaline. Hatred will make the body acidic, cause you to become sick. So we need to understand that. Let's do Leviticus 23, and let's go ahead and get into this. Let's cut down to the Day of Atonement part. Can you read that?
I think it was at 8, or let's see. Is that 8 or 10? Where's, let's see.
So that's Leviticus 23 and 27.
And 27. Okay. Leviticus 23 and 27. Also, on the 10th day of this 7th month, there shall be a Day of Atonement. There shall be an holy convocation unto you. Ye shall afflict your souls and offer an offering made by fire unto the Most High.
Well, that fire.
Shall I continue?
I just wanted to say something. So it is a gathering. We're gathering over the internet, the airwaves today. You don't have to necessarily stay in your home. We know that in the New Testament, our Messiah told us that when we fast, in Matthew's 6th chapter, not to look like we're fasting. Wash your face, brush your teeth, anoint your head with oil, and go ahead and don't, you know, because if you want to tell everybody you've received a reward, you're not to look as if you're fasting with a sour face and tell everybody as if you want sympathy. I'm sorry? Yeah. And then the other aspect of it is that I'm offering a fire. Well, we're not going to barbecue lamb today because you're going to be tempted to eat it. What they did was they made a sacrifice. They would, you know, destroy animals. The Messiah took care of all of these aspects for us by offering his life. We're going to get into that in Hebrews, the 9th chapter. These aspects we don't have to do, but let's get down to what we have to do, which is to remember this day, come together, fellowship, and then go ahead and read the rest, Brother D.
Okay. Leviticus 23 and 28. And ye shall do no work in that same day. It is the Day of Atonement, to make an atonement for you before the Most High, your Elohim.
For
whatsoever soul it be that be, that's, Brother B?
Go ahead.
Okay. For whatsoever soul it be that shall not be afflicted in that same day, he shall be cut off from among his people. We went over that on Saturday, 30. And whatsoever soul it be that doeth any work in that same day, the same soul will I destroy from among his people.
He's talking
you
about
shall do
cutting
no
you
manner
off and destroying you. And there's a lot of emphasis on being cut off and destroyed and not working. I know there's some people who just found out about the Day of Atonement. But those of you who know to do right and do it not, that is a sin unto you. He is emphatic right here. He is stressing this 3 times. There's another scripture that Brother D is getting ready to read, but 3 times he's stressing this along with the consequences. I will separate you from the people. It means you'll have no fellowship. And he's saying, I will also destroy you if you blatantly not make this sacrifice. You can call in sick if you have to.
You call in sick for when you want
to
go hang out.
Yeah, you call in sick to make it to the Giants and A's game.
Exactly.
So, you know, this is very important on the holy spectrum, the set-aside spectrum. This is very important. Let me let you read the last one, 31.
Okay. You shall do no manner of work. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generation in all your dwellings. Forever.
Forever. And listen, he said, in all your dwellings, knowing that we were going to be in captivity. Knowing we were going to be in various captivities. So no matter where you are, forever you're to do this in all your dwellings, throughout the four corners of the earth, in the midst of your captivities. You are to do this forever. And then 32, go ahead and read that one. That's why I said Shabbat Shalom. Go ahead.
It shall be unto you a Sabbath of rest, and you shall afflict your souls in the ninth day of the month at evening, from even until even shall ye celebrate your Sabbath.
I like that one because it emphasizes the fact that the Shabbat does not start Saturday morning and that all holy days start that evening and it goes from evening to evening. This also emphasizes things that people need to understand. You start at night and you end at night. This establishes holy days, the Shabbat, everything, this verse in Scripture. And on the ninth day, so it said that Tuesday night, which was last night, when the sun went down, that's when we began, and we will go until it gets dark today. And that lets you know that the holy Sabbaths are from evening to evening. But I can't emphasize enough that if you're at work now, I would even take off. He wants you to rest. And afflict.
And just like you said, you call it sick because you are afflicting your soul. And then plus, you know, just like you said, if people take off to go to the A's game, the Giants game or whatnot, you take off to honor the Most High on this day. You don't have to worry about your boss seeing you on TV at the gate. So you're at home spending time with the Most High.
That's right.
You mentioned something earlier about, you know, having this Day of Atonement where you're forgiving and you're not holding any grudges or not being you know, to where you're holding something against something. You know, there are people that they take pride in the fact that they can hold a grudge for as long as they want, as long as they can. You know, and so we're supposed to be forgetting all that stuff, putting that in the past, because that is the righteous thing to do.
And let me say it. Well, I got Sister Tamai here. She can speak on this. Women hold grudges forever.
I'm here to tell you.
Well, you know, and I spoke about that yesterday. I'm a heart of a single woman. I spoke about unforgiveness and how it's true. Women will hold grudges. Because the hurt, I was sitting here reading about Eve and all the hurt that she brought upon herself by listening to someone else. And the book made it sound like, you know, oh, woe is Eve. Eve has to, you know, bear a child, then her son, murder her son. Oh, woe is Eve. But a lot of times that bitterness and that anger from past issues will keep us bound, and so we continue to hold that grudge against anything that comes new, anything that's past, and we, like you said, we get prideful and think it's okay. Yeah, I remember when she did this, that, and other, so, you know, I'm not going to let it go.
Mm-hmm. I'm through with her.
Right. I'm guilty of myself. I did that a lot. You said that because you just think that, I think for me, and I'm only speaking for me, is when I give from my heart with love, no manipulation, no trying to buy friends or anything like that. And then oftentimes when that has not been reciprocated unto me, and someone is trying to hurt me, I don't no longer want to deal with that person or be around that person. And so I remove myself from that.
But we have since found
right.
that that's not the spirit of Christ.
Right.
Because if they are not able to receive it, that's on them.
Right.
Because right. we have a responsibility to have you get this because the Most High told you to give. And if
right.
they want to act funky and not receive it, he's going to deal with them. But he can't deal with them as long as we take it back and say, forget you.
Yeah. Or if we try to throw sand on them after they try to throw dirt on us.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like you said, the word says, only what we do for the Most High will last, will count. And so we have to open our eyes and realize and pray for those because,
I know.
The Bible says that they are not until this knowledge and the truth and understanding of these scriptures. So we just have to pray for them, pray for their ignorance, and that the Most High will bring them into the knowledge of the truth.
Yeah, and go ahead, Brother D.
Yeah, I like to remind people, too, that, you know, you want forgiveness from the Most High. Well, you're stopping him to forgive you. If you're out there holding grudge, you can't forgive someone because it says that if you can't forgive, he can't forgive you.
Right.
If you are still unable to operate around somebody who has ticked you off, now the scripture did tell us to avoid some people who don't want to live right and walk a certain kind of way, but we have to totally be able to love on them when we see them.
Yeah.
You know, you can't walk around them and still be mad or be like, oh, here he comes, here she comes.
Yeah.
The love of Christ still has to emanate from, you know,
right.
within you and show them that you have let that go. And I always liken this to Joseph. When he saw his brothers, and he was looking at them, he wanted to get them back bad.
Right.
And he cried, and he forgave them, and restored them, and restored the whole family. And I talk about this scene all the time. You don't even know if you're healed from that emotion until you run back into that person. And when you see them again, if you can look at them and the pain is gone,
right.
and you know you've been set free by Yeshua HaMashiach. And that was a scene in that movie I always talk about, Why Did I Get Married, when Jill Scott said, I didn't know what I was going to do. And she saw the lady that took her husband, talked about her, and she said, I didn't know what I was going to do when I saw you. And she just looked and said, yeah, I'm over it. I'm healed. I'm done. So what? I'm good. I'm restored. I'm healed. I got what I need. So we have to learn how to be that way to get to a point where we can get the pain out of our hearts. So we pray for the Father to heal us from that today. We pray for the Father to heal us from bitterness and anger.
Mm-hmm.
We pray for the Father to heal us from the pain of the memories of what people have done to us.
Mm-hmm.
Because life is short. Trust me, sooner than later, you'll be at somebody's funeral.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll realize that, wow, it wasn't really that serious. You know, it really wasn't that serious. Let's get into King David. Psalms 51. Let's listen to his prayer for the wrong that he did, who was the apple of Yah's heart, who knew how to repent, who knew how to take off his kingly garments, and his crown, and his robes, and put on sackcloth and ashes and wallow in the dirt and dust, saying, I'm nothing, knowing he's nothing for the things that he did wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Psalm 51, he said, have mercy upon me, O Yah, according to thy loving kindness, and according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions.
Mm-hmm.
See how he's praying, how he's asking? Please forgive me. Go in the sea of forgetfulness. There's a scripture in Ezekiel that tells us that your righteousness will far outweigh your wickedness once you start doing right. But once you go back to wickedness and make mistakes, your righteousness is blotted out. That's wiped out. But when you stay on the path of righteousness, he'll throw away the wickedness and it'll be in the sea of forgetfulness. So we need to understand that. And David knew that. But this is how, let's copy his prayer today. Blot out my transgressions. Please erase them. And then number 51:2, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity. That's my breaking of the commandments. See, breaking this holy day. the Day of Atonement, treating it like it's just another day. It's not right. Y'all can't say I'm Hebrews and talking about, oh, yeah, well, you know. You can't do this. You got to take this serious. Verse 2, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. I'm reading this as a prayer today. Verse 3, for I acknowledge my transgressions. Key point, acknowledge that you messed up. You'll lie so much to you, lie to yourself and make you think you didn't do nothing wrong. And you did. Verse 3, I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 4, against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. 5, behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. 6, behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts. Don't lie to yourself. Don't lie about what you did. He desires truth. The Most High languishes on truth. He cannot stand a lie. A liar cannot even tarry in his sight. He will destroy you off the face of the earth for lying. That's lying about this holy day, too. Tell me about you keeping it, recognizing it, you're not doing it, knowing you're cheating, going to get some potato chips, drinking sodas on the side. And when he says the inward parts, he knows your loins.
Mm-hmm.
Your loins when it comes to fornication and adultery. You're not being true to you or him. He sees you when you're sitting up there trying to get you some on the side, or being flirtatious, or letting your lust get to you. Brothers, letting your lust, where you're so desirous of a certain woman that you can't even think straight until you're like, I got to have you. He sees that what you're doing on the inside, that lust. You got to deal with that and conquer that. Fasting will help you to conquer your lust. There's a brother that tells me he fasts every day. Technically, listen. When you go to bed, you're fasting. When you're asleep, your body's restoring, repairing itself. You're fasting. So when you go to bed at night, that's why they call breakfast break fast. So it would be behoove you if you just skip the breakfast and eat at 12. You will have fasted for 12 to 16 to 18 hours daily. And it's a way to conquer your flesh, conquer the dictates of your flesh. Because even at night when you're in dreams, you're in the spirit realm. And some of you know what kind of dreams you're having. If they're wicked dreams or righteous dreams. It depends on where your spirit is and what's in your inward parts. You're in warfare at night when you're asleep. Let's look at the rest of this prayer, which is our prayer for today. Verse 6. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Give me wisdom on the hidden things. Show me how to deal with me.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 7. And let me say something back again about verse 6. Stop putting things in your soul, in your psyche, when you know you have a problem in that area. You shouldn't be watching the stuff that has a lot of nudity when you wrestle with lust. You shouldn't be watching these soft porn movies on HBO and Showtime where they're getting it and getting busy. You're just putting that image in your head, and it's combining itself with the lust you already have, and then you wonder why in the middle of the day something just crosses your mind. You're like, whoa, where did that come from? Well, you know where it comes from. You're feeding it. So today we're starving it. Today we're starving the flesh. No TV. None of this music and seduction and all these crazy people in our face. We cut ourselves off from that. We're going to starve the flesh and its dictates today. Now David's about to really get into it in verse 7. He said, purge me with hyssop. Hyssop was a form of soap. An anointing. It was like washing. He said, purge me with hyssop and I'll be clean. Wash me and I'll be whiter than snow. Verse 8, make me to hear joy and gladness. See, listen to what he's doing right here. He's doing what I just got through telling you. Let me only hear the things that are of joy and gladness. May the words of my mouth and meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight. Let good things come in. Make me to hear good things only. I don't want to hear this negativity. I don't want to hear things that's going to make me upset, make me mad. I'm trying to ask for forgiveness for everything that made me mad throughout the year that I reacted to. Make me to hear good things that will cause me to rejoice. Bring that to me. This is our prayer today. 9, hide thy face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Verse 10, create in me a clean heart, O Yah, and renew a right spirit within me. I pray this almost every day because I love this prayer. Because it was heard, it was powerful, it was to the point, and it was effective. He said, create in me a clean heart. Please clean my heart. Take inventory today. You've done your parents wrong, or you're mad at them because they did you wrong. Children making you upset, co-workers, mad at the way things, you feel like things will turn out in your life. Get all this madness out of your heart today. Create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. He can change your spirit. Verse 11, cast me not away from thy presence. This is the key. You don't want him to be done with you because he just said, if you don't keep atonement, I'm going to separate you from the people. And then once I've separated you, I will destroy you. Pray, cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Brother D, you still there?
I'm still here. I'm listening.
Okay, I'm gonna bring you in 1 second while I'm finished reading this. Hold on. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of salvation. Remember how it used to be so exciting? Let that excitement stay inside me. And uphold me with thy free spirit, the Holy Spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh. Hold me up. And he's saying, look, he's going back to the Father in 13, saying, then, after you've done this, then I will teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. You deliver me, I'm going to make sure I go out and deliver other people and put this work in and tell them what you've done for me and how good you've been to me. I will testify. Verse 14, deliver me from the blood guiltless, O Yah, thou Elohim of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Elohim, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. But thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offerings. The sacrifices of Yah are a broken spirit and a broken contrite heart. That is the sacrifice today. Be broken in your heart and spirit about the wrong things you know you've done this year. It's not incense. It's not a sacrifice, even though Yeshua was our eternal sacrifice. He took care of that. He wants you to be broken in your heart and spirit. All right, I'm going to let you go ahead and finish. Brother D, you still there?
I'm still here.
Okay, go ahead.
You know, you mentioned Brother David. He was just so, when it came to praising the Most High and then also repenting when he did some right, to see the repentance in him, because, he would sing and dance, you know, like they said, with all his might to please the Lord and to show him how much he loved him. And then, on the other hand, when he had broken that commandment, you could even read in the words, you can see and feel the repentance he had, that he had let the Most High down. And that's why he was the apple of the Most High's eye.
That's right, Brother D. I agree, because he knew how to ask for forgiveness. And that's why this day is so important for us, is that we have to be broken in spirit and ask the Most High for forgiveness. But in our brokenness, we should be praising him as well and thanking him for this day. Thank you for allowing us to enter into his presence, broken, and just asking for a renewed spirit.
That's right, because, you know, you go to him and you're asking for his forgiveness, or you're asking for him to do whatever, you have to go in sincerity. You know, you can't go there, you know, when you're sitting here mad at this person, mad at that person. You know, the Most High is not going to hear you because you're not coming to him in the right spirit.
Mm-hmm. Did I finish 17?
Yes.
18. Do good in thy good pleasure unto Zion. Build thou the walls of Jerusalem. That's what we're doing. Then shall thou be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offerings
and whole burnt offerings. Then shall they offer bullock upon thine altar.
David is letting him know that through the restoration, we will take care of the work. If you can forgive us and forgive us of our transgressions. It's not like we're bargaining with Yah. We're just saying we don't want to be in this condition. We realize we want to set me free. Deliver me. Deliver me. And once I have been set free and delivered, Yah, I will do those things that I know you have put me here to do. I made mistakes. But, and, you know, at this point, brothers and sisters, sin is not worth it. Let's try to rid ourselves of sin. Let's try hard. I used to always say, try to close up the gaps in your life. Address and acknowledge those things that you struggle with. And, you know, as far as brothers and sisters out there living a single life, it's better to marry than to burn and to do all those things.
Exactly.
It's just important. Yeah. Don't, if you're sitting up burning, and then if you, you know, some of y'all might have a gambling problem or something like that. You don't know what to do with money. Kill that off. You need to get away from cash. You need a cashless society. Well, you know,
and
it's a different thing. I'm trying to just give examples, but there's many more. Go ahead, yeah. Brother D.
And then you still have to work on that. You marry, then you got to make sure you're faithful to that woman. I mean, because, you know, lust can still try and get to you, that can still try and come upon you, because, as we know, Hashatan doesn't sleep. You know, okay, you moved into, you got married, and he's going to try and mess that up for you.
Yeah,
so, you know, we need
you're
to
bringing up a,
be ever vigilant.
You're right. I'm glad you said that. You're bringing up a good point, because you might try to rush to alleviate your sex, but you don't know the responsibilities of marriage, which takes a lot of work. Now you've set yourself up to fail, and you'll fall into another sin called adultery, which he don't play with. Adultery is very serious to Yah, because marriage is a mystery of godliness. So, yeah, you're right. I'm not going to say just go get married to deal with your lust, because you better know what you're getting into, because you're going to set yourself up to break one of the moral commandments, the Ten Commandments, which is adultery.
Exactly.
So,
hey, another thing about that, like I was telling you about atonement, yeah, this is my third atonement. And the first two, you know, all I'm thinking about is how am I, you know, am I going to get through this? How am I, what I have to do? I mean, then also, you know, when can I eat again? But I didn't approach this one that way. You know, I look forward to the atonement. And, like,
hallelujah.
It's making me stronger.
24 hours out of 364 days, we can't give Yah that. And,
we give the world that.
You give the world that all the time. And, you know, can't push our plate to the side. We have to learn what we're trying to do is overcome the flesh and strengthen our spirit and also be forgiven for what we know that where we made mistakes. There is perfection, brothers and sisters, in serving Yah. Upright people like Elizabeth and Zacharias, who birthed John the Baptist. These were people who were upright, perfect, people who keep the commandments, people who keep the laws, people who enforce the laws, people who establish the law, like Romans the 3rd chapter, and I believe the 32nd verse. Do we destroy the law? No, we establish the law. This is a part of the law. This is a very high holy day. And y'all need to come on and get with these last two holy days within this calendar year of the fall feast, because right after that you got wickedness coming up. They already got Halloween stuff in the stores. It's a high holy day for the satanic order. They'll be sacrificed. They kidnap everybody. They're gonna kidnap a few more, I'm sure, that they'll be sacrificing on the night of Halloween, All Hallows Eve. And then you go into the Thanksgiving and that fake other holiday in December. I don't even have to mention it. We are fellowshipping, preparing ourselves, and putting ourselves as Hebrews on one accord so that you can be strong and show your hand strong in the final months of this year of the Gregorian calendar. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Let's look at something. We don't have to sacrifice the blood sacrifice because Hebrews, the 9th chapter, tells us in the 11th verse, but Christ being come, a high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands. This is to say, not of this building, Verse 12, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. He got it for us. 13, for if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctified to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who brought the eternal spirit, offered himself without spot to Yah, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living Yah. And for this cause, he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, that they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. So we don't no longer have to walk around with turtle doves in the trunk every time we mess up. We got grace through his sacrifice and his blood, but today we are afflicting our souls and thanking him for ultimate sacrifice that he has given us. I know, Brother D, you got to get ready to go. You want to have something to say?
No, I'm still with you here. I'm still with you. I think I'll make it through.
All right. All right. Anything else you want to share on?
Not right now. I'm like I said, listening.
Well, that was the extent of what I wanted to share, and I just want to encourage you, brothers and sisters, that don't turn your back on people and not be a blessing to them. Acknowledge people, and if there's people that refuse to sojourn with you and fellowship with you because they bitter, the Bible said if you think your brother has aught against you, go to them.
Mm-hmm.
You go. If you think your brother or sister has something, a problem against you, you go to them. Today is squash it day. It should have been done leading up to this day because you're really afflicting and atoning for your sins. And there's 11 different uses for afflict in the Hebrew vocabulary, and but we pretty much all get the gist of what that is and what we're supposed to do when it says afflict. Okay, there's it cause pain, it can cause mental distress, the bread of affliction, when you talk about that type of affliction, and then that's using it actively. When you use it passively, the state of being in pain or trouble as to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, that's passive for it. Individual affliction is poverty, sickness, oppression, be weak, strong and rich, perverted justice. There's just many various uses. It's a very familiar word in the Torah and Tanakh. If you look at the fact that the Hebrew mind did not dwell on secondary causes, but attributed everything, even afflictions, directly to the great first cause and author of all things. Shall evil befall a city, and Yah have not done it? That's Amos 3 and 5. So understand what that word is and what it and what the expectation of it is today. It might get painful. You might get hungry. But most of all, that's not the get. You should be broken. You should be really sorry to Yah for falling backwards. Backsliding. Some of us, because we can't see him, we easily forget that we serve him and that he's here and that he sees everything. And he's writing everything down that you do. You know, we will get forgiveness from Yah, and we tend to forget about what we've done. And sometimes he has to remind you how you fell into that sin. Like, check yourself. Don't ever let it happen again. I forgave you that time. And you know what? There's a lot of times Yah has forgiven you in ways that you don't even realize. You may have done something that could have brought you a venereal disease. You may have done something that could have put you in a place where you couldn't repent. There's people that decided to go to the club. I'm going to just go kick it this one time, and the bullets start flying. Or people did something and ended up in jail. Come up here, teacher, you tell me that people done stuff that they had no, they couldn't come back from. Can you take it for granted that you made that mistake? And there was a song that says, how can you forgive me when I've often gone astray? How can you think of me when I do things my way? Turning my back from you, the one who loved me first, having my own desires, renewing worldly thirst.
Brother,
right there. Yes, sir.
Yeah, and the other thing we need to realize when you're out there, you know, interacting with a stranger, with anybody there, you know, we're told that we don't know if we're entertaining angels. You don't want them going back to the Most High with that bad report that you treated them unrighteously.
You know, I was thinking about. Yeah, you still got me. I'm here. We got a little delay. You know, wasn't that story with that movie with Denzel Washington and Whitney Houston, where Denzel was the angel?
That wasn't the preacher's wife, was it?
The preacher's wife.
Yeah. Okay.
Now that you know, that's made up. That's Hollywood. A lot of it, but the premise
is
what I'm getting at, because she was attracted to that angel to the point of ready to leave her husband. And then that's not to forget that the angels fell and slept with women. And in that movie, they made a joke of how the angel wanted her too, and the lightning struck, like you better not even think about it. So the point that you make, is very valid. You know, that thing that you lusting after could be an angel, and he's checking you like, look at you. And so you better be very cautious about what you do. It's not that you entertain angels. We always think an angel might be somebody asking us for money or for food, but it could be anyone, anything, any situation. And then the Most High will let that angel come down, and you sitting up here flirting with that angel. And he's taking report. You see what I'm saying, Brother D? Was it not Sodom and Gomorrah and Lot, where the men was lusting after them two angels and they wanted them? Bring them angels out here.
Yep.
It's only two men we ain't had.
They didn't want the women. They want those guys. Or those angels.
Wow. Wow. So we need to be mindful. We need to be very mindful. I'm going to have to find that song and play that song today, the lyrics I just quoted. That's very powerful. I just want you brothers and sisters to know that. I'm going to say it one more time. How can you forgive me when I often go astray? How can you think of me when I keep doing things my way? Turning my back on you. Yep. Turning my back on you, the one who loved me first. Having my own desires and renewing my worldly thirst. Can do what you used to do. Always chasing your desires instead of chasing Yah. Every day you should be chasing Yah and his goodness and be intent on blessing somebody. And let it start today. If you have not been doing right throughout the year, let us be broken. Let us repent. Let's kill off our desires and let's be in love with him. Do you love him? Once you tell him you love him, he's going to be like, how much do you love me? Are you available? Are you saying yes to me? When I tell you to go, will you go? When I tell you to feed, when I tell you to do something, are you my ambassador on the earth? Will you follow my instructions? Let's repent and let's move forward. That's all I wanted to say.
You're right.
Any final comments?
No, you're right, following the instructions, because it doesn't end with you, you know, the pastor saying you've been saved and you figure you can go out and do what you want now because, hey, you know, I'm saved. You know that once saved, always saved doctrine or whatnot. No, you got to put in some work. I mean, because they said, faith without works is dead. I mean, so you've got to show the Most High that you're worthy of the grace that he's given you. And as far as this is, like I said, I love this day. I love the fact that the Most High has put this day before us, that he's allowed us to go to him and to be forgiven for all the sins that we've committed over the years. And every year we can do it, like it says, throughout generations. This is to be observed throughout all your generations. Let's thank the Most High.
Hallelujah. This is a holy day atonement that we're supposed to do forever. And I'm glad you mentioned that about once saved, always saved. That doctrine is an enemy to repentance and atonement. That doctrine is the biggest enemy to this day, and people getting it right. Because once people have that in the back of their minds that, hey, I repent, it's all good. No, you got to be broken like David in Psalms 51. Get on your knees and beg for forgiveness. Some of y'all, some of the judgment won't hit for 30 days, 60 days after you've done what you've done. But it's going to come. There are consequences for your sins. Today you're atoning, saying, please have mercy. Don't let it come. I'm sorry. I messed up. Please forgive me, Father. You know, once saved, always saved. Don't let nothing follow
Hallelujah.
Into that room. Hallelujah. So we rebuke that enemy in the name of Yeshua. I pray for you, brothers and sisters, that you'll be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. I'm talking about the Most High. In the power of his might. Be strong in him and the power of his might. Because I once was young, now I'm old, but I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread. He will not leave you or forsake you. The moment you take things into your hands, he backs up the blessing because you decide you want to take care of it because you started doubting him. The moment you say, Abba, Yah, Daddy, we need you. I can't fix this. I need your help. Call on him. Prove him. Tell him. Prove him. Remind him of the things he promised you.
What's the old saying? You know, you're going to jump in, you can do it. The Most High said, well, go on with your bad self. You go ahead and do it. You know that old saying.
Oh, yeah. Go ahead with your bad self. Go ahead. Yeah, he'll be a blessing to you. But let's be broken. Let's be broken. Then go ahead and reflect on some of the things you did wrong and repent. Reflect on how can I correct that and restore this part of my life. I don't want to keep going back to doing the old things I used to do. Why do I keep going back and you keep having mercy on me? I should have been dead. I should have been in my grave. I could have had cancer. I could have had AIDS. I could have had this. You need to reflect and think about it and think about how good he's been to you. And release all the anger and bitterness today in the name of Yeshua, HaMashiach. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Any closing comments, Brother D?
Oh, no, I pretty much said all I can say. Just, I just want to wish the brothers and sisters out there, you know, have a good atonement day and pray that the Most High keeps your hands strong.
Hallelujah. Yes, everybody keep on atoning. Keep your hands strong. Hang in there. Hang in there. Do not throw in the towel. It is well worth it. Be of a repentant heart today. Please be of a repentant heart. It was a blessing. You got a blessing. I'm going to say like they say in church, you got a blessing with your name on it. He does. He truly does. He wants to see your obedience today. That cheeseburger, man, if you break this fast today for a cheeseburger, that means you weak. Come on now, sacrifice. You don't know what it's going to be like on our way to the wilderness or in the wilderness. Some of y'all need to get some of these pounds off you anyway. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
All right, Brother D, have a good day. And all to my brothers and sisters, keep on atoning. Just keep on atoning. Hallelujah. Shabbat shalom.